Chapter 7. Celeste, Ron, and Angel rode in the squeakmobile. They were on their way to the park so Angel could feed the ducks. The last days, the three of them had been together every night, and though she had not yet said Ron's name, she loved to hold his hand and ride on his shoulders. Before Ron, she had always been afraid of the ducks, because they were almost as big as she was, and their beaks and their feet and their noises frightened her. But now, from the safety of his shoulders, with his arms wrapped around her knees, she was taller than anyone. Her tiny fingers stroked the sides of his face and rested on the top of his head and outlined the curve of his ears. She weighed almost nothing. He held her by her ankles. Euphoria swept over them both. Ducks quacked and scuttled at his feet. Celeste watched, feeling her heart carried along with them. Sometimes a pang of how hard it would be on her if this came to abrupt end made her shiver. But there were lots of other people in Angel's life. Ron was a newcomer. She didn't even really talk to him yet. They just did things together. And Celeste knew that Angel thought of him as a big, flexible toy. At least so far she did. Celeste was quickly considering him something else. After that first night, there had been the second, and then, right away, a third night. That was when they slept together. He was gentle with her, until the passion drove them both into a worked-up froth. Then the gentleness returned, and the ache between her legs felt warm and good, and she wanted him back there again, thrusting himself in and out of her until he was poking at her cervix, and the sweet hurt caused eruption after eruption inside of her. Back in the Red Ford, they went for ice cream, and Ron asked Angel what she wanted. She grinned, her huge brown eyes lit up his face when she said, "Strawberry." "Everything is strawberry right now," said Celeste, who had taken Angel to meet Strawberry Shortcake at a breakfast a week before she and Ron had met. Ron smiled. "Strawberry is the best," he said. Back in the car, face sticky, hands wiped clean, but also almost like Velcro with everything that she touched, Angel said, "Ron, the water tower," and pointed. Ron pulled the car to the side of the road and turned to face the two of them. Angel was pointing out the window to the water tower that announced the name Fairlawn in faded block letters. His face was ecstatic, and he reached back and lightly stroked her chubby calf. "That's our water tower," he said. Celeste saw pure joy on his face and knew that it was because she had finally said his name. When he dropped them off at their house, Celeste unstrapped Angel from the car seat and handed her to Ron so that she could take the chair out and bring it back inside. Angel threw her arms around Ron's neck and hugged him as tightly as she could. "I'll call you when I get home," said Ron. Celeste carried Angel into her house, and Ron squeaked around the corner and disappeared. They both watched him go, and then the porch lights came on, and Barbara was coming out the door. Barbara was Celeste's cousin. She had been Celeste's dance teacher, and she loved Angel with a pure devotion of a spinster who saw her role as giving all that she had to this newest member of the family. "Where were you, young lady?" Angel smiled and tilted her head to the side in a dreamy gaze. "With Ron. We had ice cream." Barb took the baby from Celeste's arms and laughing in pure delight. "With Ron? And you had ice cream?" "We fed the ducks," Angel giggled. You are a sticky girl who needs a bath, is what I think. And she carried her back inside with Celeste there trailing behind. Celeste's mother and Barb's mother, Vivian, were at the table drinking coffee. Celeste's father was stretched out on the floor, watching a blaring TV. All three shouted, "There's the princess!" not quite in unison. "We're very sticky," said Barb, "and we'll be right back after we have a bath." No one really said hello to Celeste, but she didn't mind. They were such a help to her. They had saved her life, and she knew what the priorities were. Celeste put down her ever-present baby bag that she had learned to carry with her everywhere. "Do you want to undress her while I run the water?" she asked Barb. After her bath, they had passed her naked body around and took turns kissing her baby-soft bottom, and Barb had gotten her dressed for bed, and she had gone to lie on Papa's stomach and watch TV. Celeste's mother said, "I suppose it's time to meet this Ron before this little girl gets her heart broken." Her mother was neither smiling nor happy. Before Celeste answered, the phone rang, and she felt herself jumping for it. "Hi," she cooed into the receiver. "Give me a second to get downstairs." Vivian and her sister shook their heads as she disappeared into the basement and then called up, "Please hang up the phone." Barb went to the wall phone and clicked it off.